Swearing, smut, filth, sexual innuendo, or anything LGBTQI++ related, then please fuck off now. If you're still here, strap on in, pun intended, and enjoy the ride. This week, we're extremely privileged to have had Buck Angel on the podcast. As it's such an awesome conversation, we've split this into two, so this is part one of a two-parter from Buck. We really hope you enjoy hearing about his experiences. We're so honoured that he gave up his time, so thanks very much, Buck. Right, let's get you stuck in.
So today we're joined by the incredible Buck Angel, a human rights activist, speaker, innovator, sex toy designer, one of America's most successful porn stars, and our self-confessed trampa. Welcome to the podcast, Buck.
Wow, that was like a serious intro. Thank you, my friends. No, I really appreciate you guys a lot, really having me on. And you know, I'm old school. Sometimes I don't do the pronouns. Sometimes, you know, and if I so offend you or anything, just let me know.
Oh,
you know,
no,
I'm just old school. I call people dude and guys, and you know, I'm just all over the place.
We're all up for that. That's not a
okay,
problem
right
at
on.
All.
Not a problem. Right on, right on.
Yeah, no, it's not a drama for us. So, yeah, you are a man with a female past, and you've done some incredible things in your life to get you to live authentically. So, yeah, what do you want to talk to us about your journey? How did you become Buck Angel?
My journey would take like 75 podcasts, but that said,
we've got time. Let's do it.
In a nutshell, I was born a female 58 years ago, and that was in the 60s, 1962 I was born. And so, you know, I will tell you that forever in my life, I felt like a boy. My parents raised me like a boy, and I, you know, I was a tomboy, which is what we call in the United States, like a girl that kind of acts like a boy. And then I kind of went through all that. And, you know, I didn't have a bad childhood. This is what people have a misconception. I did not. My parents were fucking amazing. They literally dressed me like Buck. I was Buck. Everything was great. Even the kids in my neighborhood, everyone. I would say I got a little bullied at school just because I was very masculine. And, you know, that's normal kid stuff. But I would say the shit really hit the fan when, you know, I started to have my period and I grew breasts. And that was around 16 years old. And then, you know, we can all relate to that. It's puberty. Every human being on the face of earth can relate to puberty. So that just destroyed me. I thought I was a boy and I was turning into a girl. And that was in like, you know, that was in the 70s. And nobody talked about any of this. We didn't have the internet. I didn't grow up with social media, the internet, none of it. So, you know, I suffered for a long time. I became an alcoholic. I became a drug addict. I became a cutter. I used to cut my arms and my face. And I two suicide attempts and mental institutions, homelessness, prostitution to survive, smoking crack. I mean, I can't believe I sit here and talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
but honestly, we're bloody glad you did. And you managed to break that, because Christ, the world needs you, like,
thank
seriously
you. It's why I really feel on some level that I have convictions and I have a space for myself, and I really focus on where I came from and that nobody can take me down. You know, we have this new thing called cancel culture. If they don't like what you say, they rip you out of the space. And I think to myself, but why? Why do you try to cancel people who have a different opinion or a different
Your
story?
Opinions are still valid. It doesn't mean you have to be silenced.
It doesn't make sense to me in a way where I grew up like having to push against the world on some level. I had to push against the world because, you know, then I had my transition. And 25 years ago, I went to two doctors who never worked on trans men before, ever. I was their first. And they called me a guinea pig. I'm going to be their experiment. And like, I went through hell to get to this space. And finally, you know, I ended up becoming this man. And like, it literally changed my life, figuratively and in my brain and in my space. And I became this man, which gave me so much freedom. It literally let me walk through the world and do whatever I wanted to do. And that's You know, then I started doing pornography. And, you know, I started doing pornography because I didn't see it. And I created the genre of trans male pornography 20 years ago. And I got a lot of shit for that, not from the LGBT community, from the straight, from every community out there. But I knew that what I was doing was important. And then I parlayed that into public speaking because people were very interested in my story. And back in the day, we didn't have the amount of trans men we have today. And so it was something new. And I traveled the world speaking. And then I parlayed that into public speaking. And then that became, then I realized there's no sex toys for trans men. So then I had the opportunity to start to create a line of sex toys. And then that just blew up. I created the world's first trans male sex toy. And then that blew up. And then, so basically that's how I got to this space. And the number one thing I want your listeners to understand is how I got to this space was because I always lived in my own space. It didn't matter to me if you liked me, if you accepted me. And I know that came from being a person who always had to live in a space of being pushed against my whole life. And today I live in a space that I like. And so you can't push against somebody who actually likes themselves.
Yeah,
so
I like myself. You can't break somebody down when they're content with themselves. And actually,
no one's taking your space away from you. Like, you fought too hard to have it.
That's exactly right, my friend. And so I'm sure your stories on some level are the same way. All of us who live outside of the mainstream world of human beings, all of us who live on these marginal sides, all have a fight to live every day. If you're a butch woman, you have to fight looking a certain way. If you're a trans guy that doesn't pass like a man, you have to live a certain way. There's all of these levels. What I think our community is missing out on is individuality. We're all thinking that we all have to be trans, whatever that fucking means, or gay, or a butch woman, or no, it means you just live however you want to live. It's distressing for an old guy for me to see this. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got to have been a struggle to come to terms with who you are and who you want to be and kind of work out what journey and what path you want to take. Because obviously a lot of your videos that you've done and documentaries, you've discussed quite a lot about not wanting bottom surgery because it wouldn't give you what you needed. So, you know, you've got a vagina, you're happy with that, you embrace that, and you're a man with a vagina, and that doesn't take away anything. It doesn't mean that you're any less man. You are male and, you know, have fucking great sex.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's another thing. You know, I always forget that I have a vagina. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, I have a vagina. I'm so comfortable with my body. Yeah. It's insane. I would never get a penis today. And it's not because I disagree with that surgery. I think it's an important surgery for many people.
For some people,
but
yeah.
I don't need it. I would be so mad if I got rid of my vagina, because I learned to actually accept a situation that wasn't normal, because it's not normal to be a man with a vagina. And on some level, I normalized it. There's a lot of guys like me running around now with the vagina saying, I'm a man with a vagina. On some level, my situation got to normalize because, you know, when I transitioned, the penis surgery was not available. And what I saw was not okay for me. I'm too much of a perfectionist. And so I was like, no. And I had to literally start to masturbate in order to really understand that this is my body. That's the thing. That was the key to me accepting my vagina, was masturbation. And I realized, oh my God, orgasms are amazing. I'm not getting rid of this.
Amen.
Do you still have people question why you haven't had that surgery though?
Oh my God. Not only 100%, my friend, daily from trans men, daily from, you know, cisgender people, daily from the world, you're not a man, you don't have a penis. And I'm like, look at me.
Yeah.
Just look at me. If you can actually say that I'm not a man by looking at me, then you're actually not looking at me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not a man biologically. I believe in biology. Biology is real. Mm-hmm. So I am biologically a woman. Yes, I can never change that. But physically, I'm a man. All my identification, my birth certificate, my passport, is male. So in the actual world that we live in, I am a man, yes.
And do you find when you were doing porn that the other kind of actors on set would kind of be shocked, or like, did they know what they were coming into, or was it suddenly like, fucking hell? Yeah.
Fucking hell is right, dude. So, no, it's so funny because when I did porn, there was nobody like me. So I had to, nobody would shoot movies with me, not one single porn actor. They were like, no. So I had to do a ton of masturbation videos. And then I had to get my wife at the time to shoot with me. Nobody would shoot with me. They thought it was the freakiest thing ever. And fast forward today, I can't stop people from writing me, please let me be in your movies. Please let me be in your movies. So really I destigmatized, you know, a man with a vagina. And now there's more trans guys doing porn and more people thinking it's hot and sexy. But you know, when you're the first of anything, I don't care what anybody says, it's the hardest space to be in. Because you are here and people will always look at that space. Even though when you're the first, you are on some level putting the bar here. And yeah. People will forever come at you when you're the first because you don't have anybody surrounding you. You're just, you're very vulnerable as the first.
You're exposed in many ways.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. So many people wouldn't shoot porn with me in the beginning. It was very difficult. Yeah.
And I bet you're having to knock them back after they realized how successful that genre suddenly is and became.
That's right. So, you know, again, you know, creating something that doesn't exist is great. And I'm so happy I could do it. But I dealt with a lot of hate from that. Yeah.
And your sex toy that you made, how did you find getting that mass produced? How did that
was difficult too. Yeah, so, you know, I had that idea for years and I made it from another sex toy, from a biological male sex toy. And I went to every single toy company in the business. Nobody would do it. They're like, Buck, it's, you know, a good idea, but there's no market. I'm like, what? There's a million of us in the world. Are you kidding? I built that market. Nobody would do it. And finally I found one company and they said, Buck, this is a brilliant idea. This is a no-brainer. Let's do it. And that was it. And now I have a line of toys and I have all of those same toy companies stole my idea after I put it on the market. Yep. They Bastards. Totally did.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the name of the game though. When you're an inventor, people wait for you to invent stuff and then everybody comes in and swoops on it. That's just the reality of it.
They're just jealous. They're just jealous of you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just the thing. People don't want to take a chance. Like you doing your podcast, you know, you're taking a chance. It could work or it couldn't work. But at least you're taking the chance to do it because you know in your mind you have to do this. Whether or not it fails or not, you're not even looking at that. You're looking at, I need to do this.
Yeah, definitely. And if we can help one person feel less alone or not wanting to kill themselves or save a life, then
that's excellent.
It's got to be better than just doing nothing and, you know, like 99% of the world who just glaze their eyes and allow shit to go on.
That's beautiful because it says to me that you care about people and that really is 100%. Important to me. I care about people. Of course, people aren't going to like you. They're not going to like something you say, but there's going to be one person out there. One kid is going to hear Trampa. Today, one kid is going to hear Trampa and go, oh, wow. I didn't know that I could actually become a man. I don't have to be a trans man. I don't have to be a gay person. I could just be a man. Yep. And that's what I want people to see. I live my life as a man. I do not live as a transgender man. I do not live in that realm. I actually had a sex change to become a man. Yep. That's what people need to understand. And there's a lot of youth out there who don't want to transition to be transgender. They want to transition to be male or female. And that's very important to understand. We're not all alike. And some of us really just want to be in the binary.
Yeah, definitely. And
it's just so great that you put yourself out there
to
be criticized. Well, and you still put yourself out there and you're still so positive and you're still like get up every day and post things and question people and push them to kind of change their minds. I think that's just so brave. Like, I know there's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to do that because maybe of their anxiety or their depression or, you know, they don't want to do that. But I just, hats off to you. Like, it's...
No, thank you.
Brave. It's brave. It's really brave.
Well, you hear me, and that, and so together, me and you are a team, if that makes sense. So when you hear me and you say, come on my podcast, whether or not you agree, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. And that's reality. I hope you don't agree with everything your friends do, because, you know, that's about having friends. I have total different opinions than my friends, but they're my friends, mm-hmm. and they'll always have my back. Yeah. But if we always just agree on everything, that's very cultish. And that's very weird to me. It doesn't mean like we can have different opinions and still be on the same track. People forget we have a higher vision. We need to stop having this inner sort of turmoil within the LGBTQ yeah. community. And we need to rise above that and understand if we really come together, we could be so powerful across the world. There's kids still dying and killing themselves because they're gay.
Yeah.
What?
It's insane.
No. Yeah. And then me and you are fighting because I'm a tranny and you're not, and blah, 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 and we're like, blah, 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 blah. Why kids are killing themselves and the world is killing us and the world hates us. And we're sitting here like going, blah, 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 blah. What? That yeah. makes no sense to me. That's why I rise above that, my friend. So I appreciate you saying that, because I see the bigger picture, and the bigger yeah. picture is saving lives.
Yeah.
And protecting our rights. Like if we join together, then we're protecting yes. our rights and not having them taken away.
That's right.
Which is in what the they're UK, trying to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the UK, there's a lot of shit going on there. I think sometimes it's worse than the US. You have a lot of turmoil in the community, especially in the transgender community in the UK.
Yeah, well, we went to London Pride 2 years ago, didn't we? And at the front of the parade, we didn't really understand what the hell was going on, and we thought it was a bit of an odd kind of start to the parade, but there was yeah. some butch lesbians who were there with banners saying L without the T, and we're like, what the fuck? Like, didn't understand it at all. And it was only when we then went on the news and realized what the fuck was going on that we were like, fucking hell, there's TERFs in our own community. Like, how is that even, like, how in their mind can they even...
The front of the parade.
I was there.
Were you?
I was
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking it was horrific.
Shocking. Yeah. And that's the thing I'm trying to say. Now, I'm going to say something that probably isn't the popular opinion, and I don't give a fuck because I'm not the popular opinion. I'm the guy who speaks my mind. There's two sides to every story. This is what yeah. we always forget. There's not just one side. And so we have to listen to women. And women, meaning biological women or cisgender, whatever you want to call it, they have an actual concern. Now, it doesn't make it right and it doesn't make it wrong. And then the trans women have an actual concern. So why are we not having this conversation? Instead, we're calling you a TERF and we're calling you not a real woman. So how are you ever going to get to a space where we can actually do this? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I transitioned to a man, I started to be attracted to men, which was very shocking to me because I only have ever been attracted to women. So I started having feelings and being a gay man, and it was freaking me out. But I went to a gay bar and all those men were like, ew, you know, because I didn't look so masculine yet. And they were like, gross, get the fuck out of here. You're a lady. And I dealt with that in the beginning. And eventually I realized, well, now I have to put myself in that position slowly. I can't just ram it up your ass with no lube. I have to literally slide right in. And I'm going to tell you today, gay men are so accepting of trans men. They yeah. realize, they look at us like men. They're totally, I mean, not all, but you know, in a majority. So I look at it the same way. I really feel there's a push on both sides, not just one side, on both sides to say, what makes you a woman? If trans women would understand the women's issue, which is valid, it's a valid issue, and women would understand trans women issue, which is a valid, we could actually have a conversation, not pushing against each other and not saying you don't belong in gay pride. Of course you do. Everybody does.
Yeah.
So
pride is based on Stonewall and transgender people who actually rioted to enable pride to happen. So it's like, hello, this is the whole fucking reason we're here, you idiots. Like,
I know, it's gross. But, you know, they also discount the lesbian at Stonewall. You know, there was who was also part of that whole thing. And people leave out the lesbian story, which is also, I have an issue with that. We cannot discount lesbian history. It's very important. Butch women history, all of these things. I think on some level also the lesbian community is really worried that, you know, a lot of butch women are transitioning now and maybe they're losing their butch side. And it's a valid thing, but I don't think that's actually happening. But I think people...
But surely people should just live for them. Yes. Why do you care about...
Why do you care? Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Yes.
Like we were saying about occupying your own space. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly... And me, letting me occupy my space of transsexual. I am not transgender. I'm a transsexual man, which
you
then
had
I
a
get
sex
a lot
change.
Of shit.
And are living as a man.
Exactly. And oh my God, I get so much pushback from the transgender community where I'm 58. I transitioned 25 years ago, way longer than many
you
of
had the
these.
First surgery. I think you're a little bit qualified to know yes, where.
A little qualified. Thank you, my friend. And in no way, the thing that people misunderstand in the community is in no way is my story a reflection of the community. It is my story. Yeah. It is one story of a success. I consider myself a success in my transition, in my life, in my business, in everything I do. I'm a success and nobody can deny that. So I'm a little bit confused as to why I get pushed against in the community. If I'm successful, wouldn't
well,
you want-
probably because you are successful. Maybe people are jealous of that. Or
that's
they feel
horrible.
You reflect them, but you shouldn't because you're Buck. Like,
but that's horrible for anybody in any community to be upset about somebody for being a success. That just doesn't resonate with me. I want all of you. I want you two to be a success. I want the more successful people we have in the community, it actually reflects on me too. And we rise up together. Yeah. This is the problem. We're not rising together. We're really just pushing on
friction
each other.
Friction within the community.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a lot of language policing there? We have a lot of language policing here, which is also something I'm not okay with.
In terms of, in what way? Like,
So basically what you can and cannot say. I cannot say transsexual. I cannot say tranny. I can barely even say pussy. I can't talk about the fact that I believe that women menstruate and men don't. I don't want to be lumped into the menstruating thing. The whole point of me becoming a man is that I don't even want to talk about any of that. Yet now we're having all these ideas that men menstruate. You know, I have an issue with that because don't lump me into that. That is not a space for me. And if that's an individual, and I can tell you a lot of trans men don't want to be lumped into that space.
Yeah.
That feels very
people
female.
That bleed rather than bleed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the J.K. Rowling thing, people just fucking nailed her without listening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell you, she's not transphobic. She has some valid points. And in no way, shape, or form is she saying that trans women don't exist. She's not saying that. She's saying trans women are women and biological women are women. We have different experiences. You and I can actually talk about that because I was a woman. And I understand menstruating, I understand all. But a trans woman is socialized as a man. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
So they have a different experience than a biological woman. That is a fact. You cannot even argue that with me. So I don't understand why trans women are getting mad about certain things when they don't have the experience of being a woman. Women are still second-class citizens all across the world. Women still have to fight to get into spaces. Women still get called shit or the world is misogynist. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand trans women not being more sensitive around what biological women are saying. That is very important.
It's because the press in this country don't give the whole story. Like, they'll just pick out the bits that they want to sensationalize. People then read it and then they get really, really angry about it. And then they like want to pull J.K. Rowling down because, you know, she's like this figurehead. She created
successful woman.
And then they just want to rip her to pieces. And then, you know, all of the actors and actresses who, you know, are of a young generation come out and kind of like
support the trans community.
Well, yeah, which is great that they're supporting the trans community, but they're not reading the whole story and
that's
giving
right.
the whole picture. Well, because
right.
I initially got very angry about it.
Of course.
Got very, very angry about it.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, I'm actually going to read what she said. And then I was like, oh, actually, like she has some valid points, as you say. It's just
that's
the way
right.
that they've been articulated in the press.
That's exactly right, my friend. Thank you so much for being a fucking intelligent person.
There's not many of them.
There's not many. We've lost intelligence. Now, I'm going to sound like a wingnut right now, but I'm not. I'm actually very, very smart, and I look at shit from all angles. And I'm going to tell you that there has been a co-opting of the transgender community. It has been co-opted by people who are creating a situation that is cultish. And in some way indoctrinating people. When you say transgender, anyone can be transgender, which is what they say now. Anyone can be trans. Transgender is an umbrella term, mm-hmm. which constitutes non-binary, which every single one of those situations are valid. I am not invalidating anyone. But when you make an umbrella term that says butch women, butch men, trans men, non-binary, blah, are all transgender, that I have
it's no wonder that you want to identify as transsexual, because
that's exactly
that umbrella
right.
term doesn't
Does
resonate
not
with
fit
you.
For me, not at all. And so it also causes a lot of problems within the transgender community, because then everyone's saying they're trans, but we can't really define what that means anymore. So when J.K. Rowling says whatever the fuck she's saying, and you immediately jump on her and you say, what she's saying is transphobic, you are now eliminating conversation that could actually fix the problem, because you've shut down the conversation that says you're transphobic. I get kind of, do you know that I get called transphobic daily by trans people? How can I be transphobic when I'm trans? It doesn't make sense.
I don't understand where other trans, whatever, wherever they fit in the spectrum can have issue, because any interview you ever do, any podcast you've ever been on, any video you've ever done, you always say and caveat it with, this is my experience,
this is
how I feel, this is, you know, you own your gender, you own your label, you like, how can anyone have issue with that?
Because I'm not on board. So that's why I call it a cult. And it's indoctrination. And you know, indoctrination says this, you must speak and act as we do. That's indoctrination. If you look at people who go to church, they're indoctrinated into the church thought process. Jesus said this, God said homosexuals are bad. That's not what the Bible says, yet they're indoctrinated into this thought process. It's the same thing that's happening to the transgender community. If you speak out on any issue within the transgender community that is not on point with what they say, you are transphobic. That's cult behavior. Because you tell me in any LGBT situation that you can't be a different kind of gay. I see butch gays, I see fem gays, I see bears, I see leather men, I see. So if that you're gonna apply that same thing to the gay community, then that's a fucking mess, because they all have different thought process. We're human beings before we're LGBTQ. We actually are human beings, which means we get to think different, we get to dress different. You know, next thing you know, they're gonna start telling us how to dress and what to read.
No.
Yeah, seriously, it's happening.
Fuck right off.
So, you know, that's why I'm controversial. And with you opening up your podcast with me, people are gonna be like, bah! But you know, it's like, I don't care. You got to listen to what I'm saying. You might not agree with all of my points, but you got to listen to what I'm saying. We must be able to speak our minds. I do not live in a fascist fucking world. And I refuse to let fascism become part of my community. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
How boring would it be if everybody was the same and everyone had the same opinions and dressed the same and like believed?
Exactly.
Like, it would be so boring. Like, it would just be horrific.
Well, there's a reason the Nazis weren't successful, wasn't it? Because...
Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah,
now...
But that kind of, yes.
We could have all been uniform.
That's indoctrination. So when we're done with this podcast, I'm going to send you something that's going to blow your mind. I don't know if you ever heard of the Everstate... there's a school here in Oregon that's called the Evergreen State College. And that... 3 or 4 years ago, there was a huge fucking riot there, and they were calling a teacher a racist, and they were trying to tell that you couldn't use different kind of language. It was insane what happened there. And that on some level was the catalyst to what's happening today, and indoctrinating into a certain thought process that says, if you do not have this thought process, you cannot be part of this school.
Or wow.
You cannot be, I know. And this is the United States of America. We're supposed to be... Our values were based on freedom of speech. It's the reason we left your country.
isn't that in the Constitution? Like, isn't that one of the points of the Constitution?
Yeah.
Like, freedom of speech. Like...
It's actually in our Constitution.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow. I mean...
So, that was our part one with Buck, which was freaking awesome. Absolutely loved it. Did you love it?
Oh my God, I literally was like starstruck when he came on the screen. I was like, it took me about 10-15 minutes to actually get into like not being so like, oh my god, it's Buck Angel, but yeah, it was absolutely amazing. We're so lucky to have him on the podcast, so thanks again, Buck.
Yeah, thank you, Buck, we loved it. Obviously part two will be coming to your ears next Thursday, but yeah, just to chat a little bit about our experiences and what we thought as a kind of post coming off the air with him. I think it's just important to make sure that people are aware that everyone has their own opinions and views, and they're valid. So if Buck doesn't speak for you, that's cool. And as he says, he's speaking from his own experience and from his own history and what he's been through and how he's lived. So I'm hoping nobody's going to attack or be mean, because I think he has enough shit to deal with people sending him death threats and horrific things that get sent to him on a daily basis, which, you know, I've read a few of them and it's awful. So I think there's just an awareness to make sure people
are kind. And everyone is entitled to give their own opinion, but you have the responsibility to say your own opinion in a respectful way.
Yeah, definitely. And a bit like what Buck was saying, somebody telling you how you should think or what you should believe based on something that you personally haven't read, seen, heard, or been witness to isn't okay. That person needs to ensure that they understand what their views are and how they've read that passage or what they think is homophobic or transphobic is within themselves to understand and believe. But somebody shouldn't tell you that you should think something is homophobic or transphobic if you haven't experienced that, or if you haven't been a part of that conversation or heard or read the whole article, for example.
If there's one thing that you can take from school or from your own education, it should be to be able to critically read something and form your own opinion from that, rather than taking something at face value. So for me, it's like when you see a newspaper headline, obviously they're trying to sell newspapers and therefore they're going to sensationalise it or make it like the most interesting part of the story, and sometimes they take it out of context. And so I think it's important that whatever you see, you do your own kind of research and form your own opinions of that from the research that you've done.
Yeah, totally agree. In baby news, this week we have had our 28-week scan. I say we, obviously, due to corona, Sam's had to go on her own. So you went and got your scan done, didn't you?
Yeah, we're having a chunker. We're having an absolute beast of a baby.
Yeah, so
he's in the 90th percentile, bitches. He's going to be big.
He's going
to
be a big boy.
Nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me. It's all Ellie and the donor's genetics.
Yeah, unfortunately, I decided to outsource, which means Sam's stuck with genetics from me, which is I'm 6 foot tall, so built like a brick shithouse myself. And the donor was an 18-stone rugby player, so...
And he was 5'10"?
Yeah, something like that. So Sam's now got this beast growing inside her.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at me, every single part of me, apart from my stomach, looks exactly the same.
Yeah, you've just got this whopper of a pregnancy belly on the front. It's so funny. From the back, you just look like you normally do. And then you kind of turn to the side, it's like, whoa! But yeah, I didn't understand the way that the percentile thing worked, but basically it's scored on a 0 to 100 basis, and the bigger the number, the bigger your baby. So averages is kind of 50. So yeah,
most boys tend to be above the 50th percentile because they're usually bigger than girls. Obviously sometimes that, you know, doesn't fit the trend or the norm or whatever, but yeah, to be in the 90th percentile for the head and the 95th percentile for his abdomen is
dun dun dun.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna be a big strong boy, I think. But everything's fine with me and him, which is good. And you know, as lockdown starts to slowly undo itself, I think it would be nice to see other people and just kind of share the pregnancy with other people and.
Yeah, because we're kind of housebound pretty much, and don't
obviously social distancing and following all the government rules, but it would just be nice to be able to kind of
talk about it with actual people.
Yeah. Have a roast dinner. Oh, like, that would be so nice. Just the small things. I don't want to go to a pub, obviously, can't drink. I don't want to go shopping. Just want to see family and friends. But yeah, I hope you're all safe and keeping well.
Yeah, we both hope that too. So stay safe. And yeah, stay tuned for Buck Angel Part 2 next week. Thanks for joining, guys. Really appreciate you listening. Lots of love. Stay safe. And we'll catch you next week.
It's bye from me.
Bye from me. Laters, my lovers. Thanks for listening to Spill the LGBT. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please rate, review, share and subscribe, as that helps other listeners find this podcast. For you fabulous, positive, constructive people, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. There you can help give us topics, link us to exciting people to speak with or interview, or give us things to discuss in future episodes. This is a podcast for our community, so want it to be engaging. Thanks very much.
Laters, my lovers.